I had no interest in what I thought to be make-believe.
Oh, I can't stand anything phony. I don't want to hear fiction. I don't want to play games. Even when I was like, I can remember, I wasn't even a year old. I was wondering, I saw these little black square things and with white dots on them. I was wondering, what's the meaning of these? Is there any meaning to these things? What is the meaning? And I couldn't even really talk, right? It was before I was one. I wanted to know, what is, they were dominoes. And there's no meaning to them whatsoever. I mean, it really bugged me before I was 1 year old to know, why is there something in this world that has no stinking meaning to it? And then when I found out, I says, finally I asked my dad when I was able to talk, what are these for? So the phone rang and I left off. I asked my dad, what is the meaning of these things? So he said, okay, here. So he lined them all up in a row. I kept wanting to find the meaning while I was watching him. And then he hit one of them and they all fell down. And I says, what's the meaning of that? He said, isn't that just pretty and more phoned? I said, no. What is that? Why take all the time to build that up just to knock it down? And he went and paid money for something like this? I mean, there's no meaning. Games have no meaning because there's no end result of anything that's good from it. All right? Why would anybody play Monopoly when the money that you're making there is not real? I mean, there's nothing real about it, you know? I hate stuff like that. But, the average person thinks I'm crazy for thinking something like that. The Lord says to redeem the time, for God's sake. Amen?
Amen.
That isn't redeeming the time. That's just wasting a bunch of time for something that doesn't amount to anything. There's no life in it, no profit in it. Well, it's a game of skill. No, it's not. You shake the stink of dice and, you move. That's all. What's the big deal? If the numbers hit, well, then you got it. It's just like gambling. So fantasy or fiction or anything like that, to me, it doesn't even exist. As far as in the world, if it was a female sports person, they didn't even exist to me because, to me, I just didn't like those kind of females. I don't like sports figures, females. I think they're butch, that they are masculine, that they are nothing to me. I never even saw them. It's like Birgitta used to say with short men. She says, I can't see them. I see over the top of them. I can't see them at all. Some people just have their little quirks, and that's one of mine. Okay, and then go on.
I thought heaven and hell were make-believe.
I really did think it was. That's why I gave everything to this life. And people that are giving everything to this life, they just figure that hell and heaven are just a myth. They're make-believe. But in reality, they're the only thing that exists forever. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
I believe that God and Satan were make-believe, so I never gave them even a second thought.
That was ridiculous. I used to like to go to these different monster pictures, and I'd laugh like crazy while everybody else was screaming and everything. It was just, I mean, it was the funniest thing in the world for people to think in that way, you know? If I wanted to get my, and I never went to a lot of them, I just went to about two or three of them in my life. It was hilarious to me. Ghosts and goblins, monsters and all this sort of thing. Ridiculous to me. I mean, it was just like retarded. Okay, what else?
To me, they were not truth. They, to me, were fake.
Yeah. But there are such things. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says so. And there's monsters coming out of the deep. Amen. There's evil spirits all around us. And there's angels around us if we are the elect of the Lord. But some people, all they see that is in the world and in the world to come is just dung. And really, they're dung. Amen.
Amen.
That's all they are. Then what?
One day in a Beverly Hills office, I had a true experience with the Lord. At that precise time, he became the only real thing in the universe.
Yeah, and so there's nothing for me to eat, drink, sleep, eat, and breathe, and all this, except him. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, can you think of anything that I should go back, because I had everything out there. And I can't think of it. I mean, when I knew he was up there, that dwarfed everything. It didn't belong, it was like nothing anymore. Here in the middle of what I thought was the greatest campaign in the entire world, and everybody else did too, it shrunk down into nothingness. It had absolutely no meaning to me anymore. And at that time, I owned a Beatles album as well. That was nothing to me. And at that time, they were asking me to do the promotion for the Democratic Party. And that meant nothing to me at all. Nothing in the world means anything to me anymore. Because I had everything in the world. I had the trade magazines all tied up. I proved to the brothers and the people in this church that I took one of the records albums of our brothers, Keepers, and I put them at number one on the national charts. Do you remember that? I can show it to you.
Yes.
Okay, I can show it to you. And I went up to number 50 on the national charts with Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars. Until the Vatican started screaming their head off because there's Tony Alamo, get him off the charts. And then George Arnold called me in and said, look, I got to take you off the charts. Don't use somebody else's name. Because those stinking Catholics are after you again. They told me they'll blow my place up if I put you on the charts, if I don't get you off the charts. You know, there's a lot of people that are Catholic on the chart, and I don't call the charts, you know, and tell them I'll blow them up if they don't take them off. I mean, that's how vicious and evil those people are, you know? Isn't it sick? Sick. Boycotting Papa Tony. Isn't that stinking sick? That really is. All right, then what?
All the things I had done with all my heart, soul, mind, body, all my life, my spirit, now seemed so empty, so stupid, so utterly stupid and worthless. All the things in the world are to be scorned, mocked, because they are worthless. Music, the record or music, entertainment business, the political business, musical instruments, all those who are high...
Sports, any kind of... trade out in the world, the meat companies, the garment industry, the silver, the gold industry, the stock markets, everything is garbage and is going to burn. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's already been burnt. I have nothing to do with it, okay? I've already burned all those bridges down. I'm strictly into the ministry now. Okay, then what else?
All those who are highly esteemed by the world are nothing more than chaff to be burned.
Right, all your basketball players and football players and all your sports figures and all your musicians and singers and, you know, rappers and all these other different... I don't call rappers singers, they're just rappers. And everything else out in the world, your big shots, they're just chaff. They all burned up as far as I'm concerned. They're gone. Okay, then what?
Satan puts people on one trip to another. The people who are not of the Lord feast on these sort of lies.
They feast. They drink from them, and they eat from them. They feast on the table that is spread, that the devil spreads for them in this world. If the Lord has a table to feast off of, then you have to realize that the Lord has a table to feast off, then you got to know the devil has one too, right? The devil has something for you to eat and drink also. He's feeding you ideas all day long. He's feeding you ideas and all day long. And one of these days you're going to wake up and the Lord's going to show you yourself. And you're going to look at yourself as though you're a beast. You're going to see yourself as you really are. And it's going to shock you. If you're not feasting, eating and drinking from the table of the Lord, which is the table of the Lord, is the Lord, and the table of the devil is the devil. Okay? Anything that looks pretty to you out there in that world is the devil. All right? If you're going for it, he got you. Okay, then what?
They are only pleased to feast on things that have no life in them.
Yes! It's so delicious. It was delicious to me until I saw that the Lord was the only real life. Amen?
Amen.
Then I thought, man, I've been eating dung. You know, corruption, nothing. No wonder I felt so empty all the time. So, nothing. No wonder I was trying to achieve something, and when I'd achieve it, it didn't have any fulfillment, really. Outside the fact it was a dull thud of a type of thing that clicked, oh, there's another accomplishment that I've mastered. Here's the fruit of it. I'm driving in a Cadillac, a new Cadillac, a white Cadillac, completely white Cadillac, white upholstery, leather upholstery, tuck and roll upholstery. All these things are supposed to hype me. Tuck and roll. I never even knew what tuck and roll was until the salesman told me it was tuck and roll upholstery, right? Leather, genuine leather, huh? I lived around leather all my life in Montana, you know, all these cows and everything, and that's supposed to be a big thing to me, right? Genuine leather. I had a genuine leather wallet. In a genuine Cadillac with a genuine convertible top. It was a really nice car, you know, real nice car. Best on the market. Even the governor of the state of Montana didn't own one. Couldn't afford it. Bankers told me, you're depositing more money here than General Electric. And, wow. Well, that's an accomplishment. But that fed my ego, but not my soul. Amen?
Amen?
Well, that was something that I could tell to the next chick that I met. Hey, chick, you want to know something? I'm depositing more money in the bank over there than GE. Huh? You think, is that impressive to you? No, the only thing that impresses them is if they can get to that wallet of yours. Amen? So all you're doing is just leading yourself out to be a sucker. The more you brag, the more of a sucker you look like, right? Well, that's just the way it is, kiddies. All right, then what else?
They are no more than pipe dreams.
All these things out in the world are just, if the devil makes them look good to you, he's suckered you into believing in a pipe dream. Because after it's all over, there's still only heaven and hell. And that's all you're going to believe in, is there's only hell for you. Then what?
They are not pleased to feast from the fruit of the tree of life, nor are they pleased to drink from the river of life.
No, they're just eating and drinking of the world. Then what?
They, however, are easily caught up into one whim after another, until sadly it will be too late for them. They feast on the world with all of its polluted rivers and trees. The earth is filled even with visible pollution.
Right, I mean, there isn't, I mean, we always drink water defensively, don't you? That's how polluted it was. There was a time in the world when I was living, this might be telling my age a little, but when you could drink water and not worry about what you're drinking, you know? You don't know if you're drinking digested water that's been drank and then you know what, over 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 times. Well, of course, we've drained it through charcoal. That doesn't that doesn't make it any more drinkable as far as mentally to me that there is, you know. So it's clean. So you're drinking clean urine. Isn't that pleasing to you? But there used to be a time when everything was nice and clean, you know. But now the world is polluted, you know. And it was always polluted with sin from day one after Adam and Eve sinned. Amen. Everything was polluted then. Especially your soul. All of our souls. Then what?
It is today hard to find anything to eat that has not been contaminated with one thing or another. It is possible to have an eternal feast absolutely free from pollution.
Ah, yes. That's good to know. Amen?
Amen.
You can eat clean things. You can even pray over things and ask the Lord to bless them and clean them, and He will. He said, we'll eat of all kinds of poisonous things. That doesn't mean stuff that you put strychnine in. Everything today almost is poisoned. Amen?
Amen.
We'll eat these things and they won't harm us if we ask the Lord to bless them. Amen?
Amen.
Are you enjoying this message?
Yes.
Oh, you are? Okay. Better than yesterday's?
Yes.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. Great. Then what?
The gospel truth is the feast that will last forever throughout eternity.
Right. If you're feasting from it. If you're going after it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because see, that's the only way you can keep the first commandment. Amen? Does that seem out of reason?
No.
Out of reach? No. But you have to genuinely be interested in it, in your heart, with all the heart. all the soul, all the mind, all the strength, all your life. The Lord wants all of your life, and as well as mine, on the altar, his altar. Now, the altar is where the burnt sacrifices go, you know. They'd slaughter these sacrifices and put them on the altar and burn them. The day before, they were out in the field chewing on grass, or they were in their stall, and they're eating oats and corn and barley and milo and all those sort of things. And then the next day, they have a whole different life. They become sweet-smelling savors in the nostrils of the Lord. They cut their neck off, strip them down. They're not the same. They're not the same form. They become a heap of ashes. They just do whatever. They become whatever the Lord wants them to become. Their master wants them to be an oblation unto the Lord, a sacrifice for their rotten, filthy sins. And so they sacrifice, and they shed the blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so we have to give our life, and the life is in the blood. We have to give our blood, our life. We have to give the life that's in our blood unto the Lord, so that we can have his life in our blood. Amen?
Amen.
Because the life travels through the blood. Okay, then what?
The Lord's table cannot ever end.
No, and will never end. It cannot and will not, because it's eternal. It doesn't end here in this life, but it is an eternal table for us to eat from for eternity. Then what else?
The Lord's table in this world is but a foretaste of the table of the Lord, which is coming soon.
When the real table of the Lord comes, it's not a foretaste anymore. It's the real thing, and it's the full table. And the foretaste table has gone away with then. We don't just have a foretaste anymore. We get the whole thing. Go ahead.
When it comes, it will be the full taste in eternity.
This is a foretaste, and we get the full taste. Amen? The earth has waxed old, and things don't taste the way they used to years ago even. The people today have been robbed, deprived of good taste in things. Everything tastes blasé, just like the people are today. And it's lost its taste. It's hard to find anything that has the old taste in it. Deprived. The people today, deprived. Then what?
When the full taste comes, it will replace the taste we have now, which is the foretaste.
Yeah, that is, if you're eating in from the table of the Lord, that's the taste that I'm talking about there. The Lord has even taken any good, you know, has taken away from everybody in this last days any goodness of this world to impress people of what the full taste is going to be, because there's nothing that tastes good anymore. There's nothing that you can eat or drink today that without defensively drinking it or eating it. And the Lord wants you to know that there's nothing in this world to look forward to. In his mercy, he's done that. Amen?
Amen.
He said in the last days the earth would lose its strength, and it would wax old like a garment, just like one of your shirts or trousers or shoes wear out. And so he does that so that we can know that there is something, but there is something, there's great hope, there's something that is everlasting. Amen?
Amen.
And that is always going to taste good. Whenever we eat in the kingdom of heaven and drink there, it's always going to be tasty. Tasty. Tastier than it ever was in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Even when the world first began and things were really juicy and tasty and scrumptious. And when you would drink back then, it was like you were drinking sparkling, gloriously fresh and full of air, because part of water is oxygen. Amen?
Amen.
Just beautiful, full of life. And it's so much better in heaven than here, than it was ever here. And especially the way it is now. Joel talks about people And it says, you old men, have you ever seen anything like it is today where nothing tastes good? Everything is corroded and corrupted. The water is polluted and the food is polluted. And everything in cans or frozen is full of preservatives. And the animals are full of preservatives and antibiotics and medicines and everything. Have there ever been a day like this? We didn't have to do those things back when. I mean, people, the cows just went out there and ate grass. We didn't have to spray it. It's never been like this before. Have you ever seen in your days where there was like threat to the United States of America? Or wars and rumors of wars and 10 to 20,000 earthquakes every day? It used to be that there'd be one or two earthquakes a day. Sometimes there would only be maybe 24 or 12 earthquakes a year. Now there's 10, 20,000 earthquakes a day. Has there ever been a time like this? No, it can't go on any longer. People have to get interested in that which is real. Amen?
Amen.
The real thing, the real deal, right?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
The table, the feast we enjoy now is Christ himself.
If you are enjoying it, then what?
Who is for our eating and for our drinking.
That's what the Lord is for, is to eat and drink. In other words, to eat, sleep, drink, with all your heart, soul, mind, and serve and do what he says. Amen?
Amen?
A person that says that he loves me and doesn't do what I say is a liar. And if they don't, he says to do it with zeal. Amen?
Amen.
So am I a fanatic or am I just telling you the simple truth? Amen?
Amen.
That's eating and drinking the Lord and sleeping and breathing and, you know, and giving your whole soul and life and heart and everything to him. That's what it's all about, Alfie. Not, well, reading and praying and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. That's, anybody can do that, read and pray. Amen? I got a postcard or something from some guy who says, you know, because my name is Bernard Lazar Hoffman, he says, my real name. Of course, it's been changed to Tony Alamo years ago. But he says, we're having a prayer for all Jewish people on so-and-so date in October. And I said, well, I pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem all the time. Amen?
Amen?
And for the Jews to get saved. They don't say what I want. They want me to pray for them for, so that the Arabs won't hurt them. No, pray for them to be saved. Then the Arabs can't hurt them. Amen?
Amen?
Or nobody can hurt you, because once your soul is saved, no one can hurt your soul. Your saved soul. But somebody can hurt your soul. Amen?
Yep.
If you die and your soul isn't saved, you're going to go right to hell. That's going to hurt. Won't it?
Yes.
I think so. The Lord showed it to me. Okay, then what?
We are, if we want his life, to eat Christ, John 6:35-57.
Eat him, drink him, breathe him, dream about him, wake up with him, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength to do what he says. That's what eating the Lord is, and drinking the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I should say drink, eat, sleep, breathe. Amen? Then you get the idea. Huh? That's what it means. But, of course, salesmen always put a few more adjectives in it. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. To try to get the punt across. Okay, then what?
We are to drink the Spirit, John 7:37-39, 1 Corinthians.
And breathe it. Breathe around the atmosphere of the throne of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
Breathe in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because he breathed into us and he breathed into you. Let's breathe him in, amen? Because he's breathing himself in. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now will you buy my rice? Then put your name right here. Okay, what else?
We are to drink the Spirit, John 7:37-39, and 1 Corinthians 12:13.
Right. Do you want to read them, please? Thank you.
John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
Yeah, if you really, see, I never thirsted for the Lord until he showed that he was there. So if you really believe that he's there, then you're going to get busy. Okay? If you really believe. Not in your mind, but also in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit. If he's touched your spirit, then your spirit is going to be touching him and his word and the people in the universe, okay? Amen?
Amen.
The people of the world will see what you're doing, and so will the angels be watching you. Move it, Igor! Move it, man! Amen?
Amen.
Right? Get busy, in other words. Shake a tail feather, baby. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes, right. It'll flow out of you. Keep going.
But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
Okay.
In 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body.
Jeff, you all got the same spirit of drinking, eating, sleeping, breathing, dreaming, and getting up and moving like that. Then you're really in the Spirit of the Lord. Otherwise, you're not. Isn't that easy to see?
Yes.
Okay, now? Now will you buy my rice? Right? Now will you buy of him without money? You're something. He wants you. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you full of zeal and full of his food and drink. Amen?
Amen.
And he wants a fire behind you. He wants you to make a commotion in this world. Amen? To cause a commotion. Because he wants you to plow in areas where it's never been plowed before. And the stuff that's happening on television is not the plowing of the Lord. All right? He wants to turn the world upside down through us, through you. He wants you to be a mover and a shaker. Amen?
Amen.
Well, he wants to be in you because he's a mover and a shaker. Amen?
Amen.
When the Lord says, let there be light, and let there be life in the waters, he wants it immediately, and it is immediate. God doesn't like to wait.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Right. Now, I'm one body of myself, okay, if just a human body. And if all of me is going with zeal, heart, soul, mind, and seal, you don't see anything dragging on me, do you?
No.
No. My trailer is not dragging behind me. It's like right with me. Amen?
Amen.
My head, my arms, my legs, my whole body is like going full blast. Nothing's dragging. There's nothing more ugly than a person that just cumbers along. Here comes dear old Mammy. Or Pappy just hobbling down the road. Here comes dear old Mammy. She's always got a load. My, 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 my. I don't sympathize with that, okay? Move, Mammy and Pappy, both of you, okay? If you want to go to heaven. Then what?
The Spirit is also Christ himself. 1 Corinthians 15:45, 2 Corinthians 3:17, 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Right, a life-giving spirit, so to speak. Amen? One gives life. So after he was glorified, after he ascended into heaven, he became a life-giving spirit, and he sends it down into us. And life-giving spirits don't drag along. I've heard of hop-along Cassidy, but not drag-along Cassidy, okay? Hop along isn't good enough. You gotta move, okay? Move, man. Amen?
Amen.
Not drag or hop. Then what?
2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
And there's also life, okay? You're not tied down to dragging around anymore. Or hopping around like Hoppy, okay? Okay, now what?
We have been eating and drinking the gospel of this world, which is death.
Yeah. We've been doing everything with our heart, soul, mind, and strength in this world. Many people. Amen?
Amen.
Of course, not you. Then what else?
Now we are to forsake all the temporal things of this world, which make us so happy, so we can begin to enjoy Christ's life forevermore. With all my spirit, I served my worthless desires of the world, eating from the tree of lust. Now I'm eating and drinking all the things Jesus likes and loves.
And I like and love too. Amen? The things that I hated before, now I now love. Some people just hate to read and pray and to be busy for the Lord. Reading and praying just keeps, it's good. You know, wisdom and understanding is very good. And the knowledge of the Lord is extremely good. And work is extremely good. But we have to do it with all of our heart. Put zeal behind it. He said, get to work. Get out in the labor field, okay? Some people were thinking that I was meaning on yesterday's message, the message before, that we're not supposed to work. We're supposed to let the Lord work in us with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? Because when we know from the knowledge of the Spirit what the right thing is to do, we're to be doing it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen?
Amen.
But a whole bunch of people just immediately wanted to go start doing some worldly thing with zeal. The minute they heard that, they just went completely the opposite direction, because they don't really get the message. And that's what has burned this message today. Then what?
Eating and drinking in the Gospel of John.
Okay, this I'm not getting fully into this, because this message I knew was going to be a little bit long, but there are many messages alone in the Gospel of John that talk about eating and drinking. Okay, go ahead. Life and living life. Then what?
The zealous eating and drinking of Christ is revealed in the Gospel of John as well. Jesus speaks of himself as life to us, John 10:10.
Read it.
The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Right. The one that wants you to do other things than other than what the Lord says is life, wants you to do it so that he can kill and destroy you. Anything that's of this world is going to kill and destroy you. You're planting your heart and soul and mind into it. Some people gardening. It's nice to keep your place up and into all kinds of arts and crafts. And there are 100 million different things that the devil can have you set your heart and soul into. Gathering stones or, you know, trinkets and all sort of things like that, hobbies. I've seen old women who are collecting dolls, and they just go after dolls with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. Susie's sister was the person that did that. She had hundreds of dolls, and she'd go to doll conventions. I mean, it's amazing to me. I never even heard of such a thing as that. Ribbon conventions, needle conventions, knitting conventions. I mean, people are into every sort of thing. PTA meetings and all sorts of things, instead of just taking care of their own kids and raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to fear God. Okay, then what?
I am come that they might have life, and that
the Lord wants you to do what he says so you can have life, that you can have it more abundantly. Keep going.
And that they might have it more abundantly. In John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Because everything that you do for the Lord is for life, is for everlasting life. Anything that you do in the world is just spinning your wheels. It's like playing dominoes. There's no value to it. There's nothing that's going to do anything for you. I don't care if you're knitting, making dolls, maybe paper cutouts, working coloring books, reading other books, doing anything, learning to be a mathematician or a lawyer or a doctor. None of that's going to do any good for you at all. You're just wasting your time. Going to universities, a waste of time. All that's going to do is get you into fraternities and sororities. And fraternities are the men, sororities are the women. Groups, and it's going to get you into sex and filth and corruption and every worldly thing. Going to coffee shops, going to coffee houses, they call them today. Singles clubs. And I could go on for a million years if I thought that it would do any good to tell you of all the corruption in the world. The dog and pony shows, the filth, the corruption, the Like I don't know what's going on out there. Come on, I was out there. I had all the money in the world to find out whatever I wanted to know out there. And I went after it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know everything that's going out there. Stuff that would absolutely blow your mind. But now I know the Lord. I mean, see, that day he changed all that. He made my heart turn towards him because he scared me. I became frightened of him because I became aware that he really was. I mean, this is no joke. Amen? He's really there. Okay, then what?
John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Right, because it's an eternal feast. Amen? It's eternal food and drink. Because, let's face it, food and drink keeps us alive. Amen? So you shouldn't demean feasting or eating and drinking, because that's what it's all, the whole Bible's about that. So that you can have the energy, the strength to serve God, to keep the first commandment with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all, to eat him, drink him. When the Lord told me, he just gave me a revelation a day or two ago, he says, when I told you to eat half the time, that means that I want you reading, eating me, and drinking me half the time, and the other time I want you. And that, I also wanted you to eat half the time too, physically. But I want you to eat me and drink me half the time. And then the rest, the other half of the time, I want you to be dispensing what you know. Okay? That's what he meant. And that's what he wants you to do, to eat and drink him half the time. And then the rest of the time, dispense what you've eaten and drinking, the spiritual things that you've eaten and drinking to others. That seems like it's going to be wasting my whole life. No, you don't have it. You're not to have any life. Your life is either the Lord or you don't have life. Isn't that right?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Amen.
Amen.
He didn't come for a religion. He came for you to eat and drink. Amen.
Amen.
Did he come to give you a religion?
No.
What religion are you? My religion is eating and drinking, amen? More wine for me and my friends, amen? Me buckos. Okay, then what?
John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture
has... He says to drink the wine, amen?
Amen.
The spirit is what he's talking about. Then what?
He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen. Then what?
John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
So I'm the life, so you have to eat me in order to have life. Amen. Anyone that doesn't eat my flesh and drink my blood has no place with me. Amen.
Amen.
No place with him in the kingdom of heaven. You can't get in. Unless the river of life is in you, unless you've been serving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all, if you're not eating him, drinking him, breathing him, sleeping him, about and dreaming about him, and talking to him, and walking with him, all the day long. Amen?
Amen.
All the live long day. All the live long day. They got a song, I've been working on the railroad all the live long day. No, not forget about that. Working for the Lord on the building. Amen?
Amen.
All the live long day. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, don't be sad. Okay? How could life make you sad?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Good. All right, then what?
In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, this book shows how the Lord Jesus, as the life we live, can meet the need of every man. That is, there are five major items regarding life. One, God, the Word.
Number two is the Word. And number three is what?
The flesh.
Yeah. The flesh. Christ come in the flesh, that's what I mean. Okay? Because that's good flesh. I mean, you know, it wasn't good, but he kept it under control with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The Lamb.
The Lamb of God. And then what?
And life.
And life. Okay, those are five aspects of God. Amen. And then what?
I will continue this on the next tape.
I will continue this message on the next tape, which will be tape number what?
23.
23?
Yes.
Like I said, I guarantee you I could bring 150, probably 1,000 messages on life. Amen?
Amen.
And they're all going to be boiled down to the same thing as what I was saying today. Amen?
Amen.
So you might as well just receive it today so that you can start living as never before. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. Lord bless you. Bye.